Got to turn the mic on, Eric. Got to turn the mic on. Welcome back. It is 1:05 on 570 News. Thanks for being along. Coming up at 1:35, the Tech Spotlight will tell you about a smart case and smartphone app for EpiPen users. Very cool stuff. It's coming up at 1:35 on the Tech Spotlight. Divest Waterloo, along with Community Renewable Energy Waterloo, are hosting a Think Globally, Invest Locally tonight at 7 p.m. It's happening at the Kitchener Downtown Community Center. It's twofold, according to local renewable energy cooperatives. Save the planet and make a return while doing so. We see a number of large institutions divest, but we want to focus on what you and I, the individuals, can do. Opportunities include insulating your home, putting solar panels on your roof as well. And joining me on the line is Brian Unra, who is the president of the Community Energy Development Cooperative. Thanks so much for doing this, Brian. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Tell me a little bit about tonight. What's happening?
Well, we have a session where people can come to learn about what actions our cooperatives are taking to try and provide alternative investments for people that they can invest in clean energy generation through solar and other types of technologies.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that people are engaged when we bring up the environment and talk about that?
Yeah, I would say so. Universally, I think people are interested in breathing clean air and having clean water to drink and safe food. The challenge is that there's sort of a varied stance on what the role of individuals is in that. Some feel that it's really the government to mandate that and look after everybody's best interests. But there are more and more people that recognize that we actually need to take action on our own. So events like this that we can have to educate people that they know what the options are for them and really what the implications of not taking action are important for that.
Let's talk about some of those actions that people can take.
Well, for the case of our cooperative, what we've done is we've assembled a portfolio of renewable energy projects. And so what we're doing is we're providing an opportunity for the general public to be an investor in that that pool of projects and to support clean energy and earn a good return while doing it. And that's one of the primary options that we're going to be discussing tonight. But at these kinds of events, we generally talk about global impact that our actions are taking. And so what we need to do is get people to step back for a moment and think about the big picture. And some of the information that is starting to get known is that we really need to be making a change in our patterns here. For example, if we don't slow down the rate at which we're burning our fossil fuels, within the next 20 years, we're probably going to have to just turn the taps off completely. And in fact, about two-thirds of the known fossil fuel reserves that are on the balance sheets of the oil companies and the coal companies simply can't be burned if we're going to keep climate change in check.
Absolutely. And I mean, we keep hearing more and more about that, Brian. And this is why I ask whether you find people are engaged, because I truly believe that it's an important conversation to have. I don't know, like, unless there are incentives for people, individuals to care about this. I don't find that people are overly engaged when we start talking about the planet. Like, do you know what I mean? I think everybody understands where we're heading, but unless there are incentives for individuals, do you find that there's the same level of engagement?
I think I'll agree with you for the most part. I think by their nature, when people step back, I think they want to do things that they know are not harmful to the environment, but finances are a powerful motivator.
Yeah.
And we don't always take the time to think of the big picture. And so we do need to have financial alignment between the economy and the environment.
Absolutely. What about big businesses? Are there things that big businesses, is that discussed, or is this just based on individuals?
Well, actually, I think businesses are actually leading the way on a lot of the energy efficiency measures and conservation measures, because they've got people that are focused on the bottom line dollar all day long. And so they are seeing that, some of the lighting retrofits that can be put into place within facilities right now are offering 2 or 3 year paybacks, that there's really some huge savings that are available to companies that are looking for energy efficient technologies.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of incentives are in place right now? How do you see a decent return and help the environment at the same time?
Well, conservation is still, I think, the number one priority. And so on the conservation side, we've got the IESO, the Independent Electric System Operator, formerly the Ontario Power Authority, that's offering their Save-On program that's been around for a number of years. And so there's certificates available that can offer rebates on energy-efficient light bulbs and power bars and timers that people can use to try and save the kilowatt hours from being used in the first place, which is the best choice. But for companies like ours, our co-op is taking advantage of the feed-in tariff program, which offers incentives for generating and feeding into the grid electricity that's produced from renewable sources. So we're most focused on solar, and so what we have is a 20-year contract that buys our electricity at a set rate, and through that we're able to develop the projects and open them up to investors that can get a financial return. And what we're seeing is the availability of returns that can meet most of the competitive returns from either your banks or even some of the market returns.
Mm-hmm. We're seeing that more and more now, I think, driving around. I mean, you know, all you have to do is drive around and see a lot more solar panels nowadays. I mean, I remember a time where, you know, when you saw some solar panels on someone's roof and you thought, oh, there's that. You know, everybody knew that one house that had it, right? But we're seeing it more and more often now.
True, and even on the wind turbine side, probably a half dozen years ago, when people would take the drive up to Tobermory and they'd come back, they could tell you exactly how many wind turbines they saw on the trip, and now we're getting to the point that I think it's even too many to count for most people, and people are starting to see that just blend into the countryside.
Yeah.
There was a time where you could have asked the same thing about, you know, how many high voltage towers did you pass, and people would have been able to give you the same number, but I think it's just a matter of getting people used to the ideas and getting it part of what we're typically going to be expecting in the future.
Now, do you think that this kind of trend will continue? Do you think more and more people will get on board?
Yeah, I mean, there's still a segment of the population here that says it really doesn't matter what we do here in Canada. And for the most part, Canada's pure and pristine, and so it isn't as in our face as it is in some areas of the world. So they're mostly thinking that, you know, it's really what China and India do that really matters in the global scale of things. But we can have an impact on things. And taking solar as an example, every time the market for solar doubles in size, we see a cost reduction of about 20% in the cost of producing electricity. And so given that solar produces still only about 2 or 3% of the global energy supply, there's huge opportunity for us to see that market double a few times, see the cost base come down. And what we can do here is invest in technologies like that make it an economic decision that China and India can't ignore, that they have to look at solar as the most cost-effective solution going forward. And there are already a lot of places in the world where solar is the lowest cost form of electricity.
Brian Unruh is on the line on 570 News, President, Community Energy Development Cooperative, joining us here on the Eric Droz Show. So this is happening tonight at 7 p.m. at the Kitchener Downtown Community Center. Is this something that is open up for people to come to?
Absolutely. We'd love for the whole city to show up, but we're opening at 7 and we'll have a couple presentations. There's another co-op that's going to be joining us on the stage to talk about what their projects are looking like. And again, just sharing some information about what steps we can take even outside of our co-ops to try and get some action locally here and develop some economic activity locally that is in the right direction.
Some folks listening right now, Brian, have a few questions. Are you okay to take a question?
Sure.
Okay, let's bring Mark in on the line. Hi, Mark. How are you? Do you have a question?
Not really a question,
okay.
But a statement.
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
At one time, we had a really big producer of solar, and the government didn't help him out. I think he was in Brampton, chased him to Germany, and he's doing great over there now. But I also think that the government had a perfect chance when they brought the wind in that they're talking about. If you build a building, you have to have solar on top. If you don't want solar, if you want to be part of the problem instead of part of the solution, then you're going to have to pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So every building would have solar on. You know how many jobs we would have from people making solar panels? Like, the jobs would be unbelievable.
Yeah, interesting comments, Mark. Thank you. Brian, what do you think about those comments?
Well, just on the job front, there are actually more people employed in renewables in Canada than there are in the whole oil sands project. So in terms of an economic driver and what's good for the economy, I'm a firm believer that renewables are the right way to go. In terms of the building side, we have seen some changes to the building code that we are looking at having certain types of buildings need to be solar ready. So it's not mandating that solar be part of the initial installation, but that steps be taken in the design to facilitate the adding of solar panels down the road. So we are starting to move in the right direction, but I think there's still more that can be done. And again, back to the conservation side, I think the building code still has a lot of room for improvement on energy efficiency.
All right, Brian, I'll take one more question before I let you go. I know you have to get going. Frank, go ahead.
It's a question and comment. Let's start with a question. What do you feel, or what's your thoughts on clear cutting and cutting down trees? Because that is becoming a big issue. Trees produce oxygen, and what do we breathe every day?
Yeah, thanks, Frank. Appreciate that. You have an answer there, Brian?
Well, I do think it's quite natural to look at all the rooftops that are across our cities and think that that's probably the best place we should be looking for placing our solar panels. We absolutely do need to be mindful of what the land use requirements are. In the last couple of years, we have seen a lot more restrictions come in on the use of ground. Ground areas, farmland, that type of thing for solar panels. So I think I support your statement saying we should be looking for rooftops and already paved areas for using them rather than countryside.
Yeah. So once again, this is happening tonight at 7 p.m. at the Kitchener Downtown Community Center. And again, it is open for anybody to come and join in. And are there lively discussions at these types of things, Brian?
Generally, the people that come out to them are, I guess, sort of already in the right camp in terms of believing that change is needed. So if there's some people that find this issue contentious and want to raise some issues on it, we're happy to engage with them as well. So we'd love to have some more heated debate if that's a possibility.
All right, Brian, thanks for doing this. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right, that is Brian Unruh right there. He is the president, Community Energy Development Cooperative, and they are hosting the Community Renewable Energy Waterloo, hosting a Think Globally, Invest Locally tonight. It's happening at 7 p.m. at the Kitchener Downtown Community Center. And it's twofold, as we've been talking about, according to local renewable energy cooperatives, save the planet and make a return while doing so as well. We're seeing a lot of large institutions divest, but the focus really about, you know, in these types of conversations and what's happening at the Kitchener Downtown Community Center tonight at 7, the focus is on what you and I, the individuals, can do. You know, what can you and I do to help out with the planet, with the environment, and at the same time, make a little return on it as well? Are you willing to make a change to better the environment? We'll take your calls and your emails next, and when we come back on 570 News.
This time of year, they're like ninja storms. They cause havoc. Be prepared with the 570 Extreme Weather Center, exclusively on 570 News.
We really need to be making a change in our patterns here. For example, if we don't slow down the rate at which we're burning our fossil fuels, within the next 20 years, we're probably going to have to just turn the taps off completely. And in fact, about 2/3 of the known fossil fuel reserves that are on the balance sheets of the oil companies and the coal companies simply can't be burned if we're going to keep climate change in check.
We continue with the Eric Droz Show on 570 News.
All right, welcome back. And that is Brian Unruh, the president of Community Energy Development Cooperative. And I do want to open up the phone lines and take some of your calls and emails. I'm asking the question, are you willing to make a change to better the environment? I will tell you before I get to your calls and emails that Tech Spotlight coming up at 1:35 will tell you about a smart case and smartphone app for EpiPen users. Really cool stuff. It's coming up at 1:35. But, you know, it's an interesting conversation with Brian Unruh, along with the Community Renewable Energy Waterloo, hosting a Think Globally, Invest Locally. Tonight, it's happening at 7 p.m. at the Kitchener Downtown Community Center, and it's twofold, according to local renewable energy cooperatives, save the planet and make a return while doing so. We see a number of large institutions divest, but I think, and I think everybody understands, that the focus needs to shift on what you and I as individuals can do. And there are opportunities out there. Dave is in Kitchener. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hi, Eric. Hi. excuse me. I own a small business, cleaning and repairing eaves troughs here in Kitchener.
Okay, yeah.
And at the moment right now, I'm working at a complex, about 100 condominium units, and I'm looking at a lot of rooftop space right now that could be used for solar panels, and I'm all for it, but I just I've come across a handful of places where people have asked me to do service for them, But the one issue that that people just don't really think about is making sure that the rain is running off your building properly and taking the route it's supposed to. The problem with that is a lot of times these solar panels will cover or get in the way of anybody ever reaching into your gutters. So just a word to the wise, anybody out there listening who's trying to or thinking of putting solar panels on, just make sure you put those gutter guards on your eaves trough so that you're not giving yourself more down the road.
Well, and you know, Dave, that's interesting because I'm learning right now. So you're saying that the way that some of these solar panels are installed can pose a problem. That's what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely. They'll cover portion of or the majority of the entryway for the water, especially when we get those big torrential downpours that we get sometimes. All that surface area being used up by the solar panel is going to be dispelling the water downwards and probably sometimes over top of your eaves trough. So you just make sure that when you get that done, that you leave a wide enough berth, probably 2 feet of only cover about, I would say, 95 or 90% of your rooftop, and leave some space for those gutters to do their job.
All right. Interesting. Dave, thanks for sharing that. Appreciate your phone call. And phone lines are open, 519-570-2545. Locally, out of town, 1-800-570-5715. Is star 570 by cell. You can get me on the email, eric@570news.com. There is a Think Globally, Invest Locally. If you're looking for more information, I would highly recommend you checking it out tonight if you are looking for something to do, or if you have an open night at 7 p.m. at the Kitchener Downtown Community Center. Divest Waterloo, along with Community Renewable Energy Waterloo, hosting this. I think, you know, for people who are interested in learning how you yourself can have an impact and to help out the environment, but also make a return while you're doing so, I think it's something that is worth checking out, because I think that people are increasingly interested in the environment and what we're doing to it. And we're on track. Like, as an example, it's so easy to get lost in all this noise, right? We're constantly lost in it because we constantly hear that what we're doing is bad. Nobody likes to hear that what you're doing is bad. We're being bad to the planet. We're being bad to the environment, right? And it becomes white noise after a certain amount of time. It absolutely becomes. We're on track for 4 degrees of Celsius of global warming this century. And if we continue to rely on fossil fuels and greater warming, That's what we're on track for. That's some pretty bad news. 4 degrees of warming is much worse than it sounds, because I think many people right now, especially while we're waiting for summer, think 4 degrees, that's amazing. To many Canadians, 4 degrees of warming sounds rather nice, but that has devastating impacts on things like agriculture, on ecosystems, on water resources, and on human health. Todd in Guelph, thanks for your call. How are you?
Good. I think there is lots of room for improvement in like the gentleman was talking about, new building codes and stuff like that, because I've looked into a number of projects at my house, and it's probably about, I don't know, 15 years old, and everything is too cost prohibitive now. Like, I looked into solar panels, and I didn't have enough square footage, or it doesn't face the right direction.
Right.
And then I looked recently into a gray water collection system. And to run new pipes, they would have to rip open walls, new lines, whatever. They're talking like $10,000-$15,000. And same thing with, I went and looked at instant water heater, and then the restrictions of how close it can be from a door or a window or another vent. It's too restrictive. There's nowhere to put it.
So a lot of loopholes, or not loopholes, but a lot of hurdles in the way is what you're saying.
Yeah, and a lot of cost.
Yeah, well, and that too, yeah. And, you know, when people take a look at their bottom line, Todd, I appreciate the phone call. And it's true. You take a look, costs, finances play a huge role into this. And again, that's why I think that people are interested and truly want to make a difference and want to help, and if they can, help their bottom line as well. But when you start hearing like 15 grand, and you start hearing some of the restrictions, So maybe that's what we need to be talked about, the restrictions and the level of openness around things like this, right? I mean, if people are willing to look at it, we got to start talking about some of those restrictions. Again, tonight, happening at 7 p.m. at the Kitchener Downtown Community Center. This is being held by Divest Waterloo along with the Community Renewable Energy. And it is called Think Globally, Invest Locally. You can Google that up as well. Tech Spotlight coming up next on 570 News.
Business at 26 and 56 minutes past the hour. This is 570 News.
All right, and welcome back. It is 1:35 on 570 News. Thanks so much for being along. It is time for the Tech Spotlight now. We do this every Tuesday at 1:35, and we're joined in studio right now by co-founders Alex Lane, President and CEO, and Mike Fisher, VP of Business Development and Marketing. As well, Holly Curtis is here, Director of Corporate Communications for Aterica. Am I saying that right? Do I got see? This is the thing about meeting all these people from different companies is that people get really creative with their names. Aterica, what is that? Where did that come from?
Well, so Aterica is a type of butterfly. That is a good symbol, fundamentally
a
good
type
symbol.
Of butterfly.
It is a type
okay.
of butterfly. It's actually an African glide nymph, I believe, is the actual butterfly.
Wow.
So our logo is a butterfly as well.
That's really cool. So Aterica creates. Vita, which is a smart case and smartphone app for EpiPen users. Now, tell me about this. How did this idea come about?
We ended up looking initially at anaphylaxis as one of the areas that was really underserviced in terms of some of the innovation that came into mm-hmm. the area. And so when we started to really look at the challenges individuals were having with carrying an EpiPen, it became apparent that it's a real challenge just to make sure that you always have it with you. That the temperature of the medication is, in fact, always within the right range, and that you don't lose it in the event that it gets misplaced. And so for us, it was really about being able to try to address some of these very practical considerations, as well as being able to provide assistance and reassurance for parents when in fact, somebody, in fact, actually uses the device itself. So,
yeah.
By calling out and being able to alert individuals when the product is actually when the EpiPen is about to be used.
So and that's the product right there that you've brought in.
It is. That's right.
So how does it work? Tell me about it.
So this is a standard EpiPen
right,
that people would carry, and so this is a case that is a smart case that it really is then paired to your smartphone,
okay.
and this then provides the connection. To the smartphone, and then the smartphone in turn provides information to all the people that are also surrounding you and part of your private support network. So individuals like mom wants to know that her child is in fact actually carrying their EpiPen. Often the kids leave for school. They're not certain that they in fact have it with them. This is a way that mom can actually look at her smartphone and know that her child's actually carrying the EpiPen with her and is taking it to school with her as well.
So would you be downloading an app then as well for your phone?
Yeah, there's an app, and there's actually quite significant infrastructure behind the app as well. We tend to think about it's a support system for anaphylaxis and food allergy. Families are living with that. We tend to think about it as a network of EpiPens and a network of individuals. It's really kind of those pieces together that make that work really well. And the app has a number of different features, but it's really the connection of people to other people. That's a big deal here.
Yeah, and I mean, it was brought up that this is one of those areas that hasn't seen a lot of kind of innovation. So was it a natural? I mean, how did you guys get into this in the first place?
So we actually got started by putting together a team to consider entering into something called the Tricorder X Prize. And it's not necessarily fully known, but basically the competition is to be able to diagnose 16 conditions and monitor 5 vital signs. So we put together a team, a very multidisciplinary team of individuals to kind of learn about that. And as we were going through it, we figured out fairly quickly that we could make a difference a little bit faster. It was always intended to be a catalyst to a company, but we figured out that we could make a difference faster. The idea for Vita specifically and this anaphylaxis support system actually came from one of the members who's actually an employee of the company, one of the members of the Tricorder X Prize.
Yeah.
So basically, at the start, 2012 was getting ready for Tricorder X Prize, 2013 was focused on allergy management.
And is this something that's already available?
So right now it's in pre-orders, and so our customers can go to our website and place a pre-order, and that actually is very helpful to us to figure out, to be able to talk to our customers, to figure out where our customers are located. In terms of shipping, we're intending to ship before the end of the year, late fall of 2015.
And that website is aterica.com, A-T-E-R-I-C-A.com. So is that the first one that, that you guys came up with? I mean, I know that a lot of the companies and people I talk to on this show usually go through a lot of different prototypes or whatever you want to call them. Did you guys just come up with that right off the bat?
No, it's... There's actually quite a bit of work for this. The basic concept that got started here is was actually something else related to allergy spacing. We're actually still working on that, but we're not quite ready to publicly talk about that side of it yet. But what we figured out very quickly is that a gadget wasn't going to be something that was going to be useful, something that's actually going to be helpful to our customers. And so we very quickly, talking to customers, talking to allergists, we have quite a number of advisors that are helping us out, and that's very useful. We figured out very quickly that what really is needed is a system with multiple layers to connect people and to connect devices and to provide support through various layers of managing a serious allergy like this. And so basically the smart case was a component of that system, and the app is a component of that system, and we're working on a couple other components that we're not quite ready to talk about as well. So it was a good year to get kind of a definition of something that we're happy with, and you know, our customers seem to be recognizing that as well.
How big is this? I guess you could call it a market, but I mean, how many people are using EpiPens right now? Sorry if I'm putting you guys on the spot, but how many people are using those?
Yeah, so worldwide, there's about 12 million people that are actually using EpiPens every day, and these are very active users, and that represents really a small portion of the people that are actually dealing with severe food allergies, severe sensitivities that may actually develop into food allergies and or other anaphylaxis that they're dealing with as well. So it's actually, as growing awareness has come about, there's more and more people realizing that they too maybe need to be carrying EpiPens as well. So and as the prevalence of food allergies or additional food allergies is coming into the population, that number continues to grow pretty substantially year over year for the number of kids that actually have food allergies too.
So right now it's in pre-orders as you mentioned. So it's only available through the website. What is the end goal for you guys?
Well, our customers, we have a very wide range of customers. Families is kind of initial target, and it's the most compelling. But all age groups in different walks of life actually have this particular condition that they have to live with. At some point in time, starting online makes a fair bit of sense. At some point in time, I think clinicians and pharmacies will be able to carry this. It's not a medical device, which is kind of an important aspect as well. It's
almost complementary, right, to it. That's the way I look at it. I mean,
exactly.
just learning about it right now, it seems very complementary. Have you guys talked to people in the medical field and what they feel about it?
Particularly both beforehand and as well when we made the announcement at CES in January this year. We actually had quite a bit of contact from various large and medium-sized pharma companies. And we do think that a combination of pharma and tech companies together, that's a really interesting partnership. So we can't talk about the details of that, but there's a lot of interest.
It's good interest.
It's good interest.
I would assume.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back with much more as the Tech Spotlight continues here on 570 News.
Sports at 15 and 45 past the hour. This is 570 News.
All right, and welcome back. It is 1:48. On 570 News Tech Spotlight, we are in studio with co-founders Alex Lane, President and CEO, and Mike Fisher, VP of Business Development and Marketing. And Holly Curtis is here as well, Director of Corporate Communications of Aterica Digital Health, and something called Vita, which is a smart case. And there's a smartphone app for EpiPen users as well. So we learned about that. The app is not ready at this point, right? It's still being developed?
It's still being developed and being tested. So as soon as we release and start shipping the smart cases, the app will be available just shortly before that.
Mm-hmm. So what else is the app going to be capable of doing? I mean, we know, we learned that parents who have kids that carry EpiPens may, you know, tell them whether they're on them or not. What else can it do or will it be able to do?
Yeah, one of the things that's really critical about it is, again, being able to make sure that an EpiPen's there when you need it. And
right.
So those are some of the basic functions we described earlier. But when somebody actually is in the midst of actually having an anaphylactic attack, during the act of actually accessing and getting the EpiPen out, it will immediately then notify the people in your private support network. And those are the people most commonly around you, like your parents, like your brothers, sisters, maybe grandma and grandpa. And those people immediately get notified with the location of where you are and that, in fact, you're actually using an EpiPen. And timing is really of the essence. You've got,
absolutely,
in order to be able to use the EpiPen and to be able to get emergency services to you and be able to get to an ER department. So it's really critical that now these people in real time can be able to help support you, regardless of where you physically might be. They know on their phone where you are, can actually direct emergency services toward you, even though they may not be right beside you.
That's very cool. And so pre-orders, you're in the pre-order stage on your website right now. Let's talk about pricing. What does it cost?
So it's just at the pre-order, the each case, a single case, is $59 US to pre-order. And by the way, on the pre-orders, we don't charge your credit card until we ship. So this is really just a pre-order stage. You don't pay until it actually ships and happens. So the other important part is that when somebody is carrying an EpiPen, really they need to carry both they need to as well as just kind of a normal routine dealing with multiple EpiPens. And to recognize that, we actually offer significant discounts for ordering more than one. Up to 30% off for six or more ordered at the same time. The app is free, and it'll be, as mentioned before, it'll be released when the case is there, and it can integrate other people in your support network as well.
Yeah, and I really love this. People have been responding very well to it. Been sending in thank you notes and really thanking you guys for coming up with this. Can you share some of those with us?
Oh yeah, we've been absolutely overwhelmed with the response. We're getting Facebook notes, tweets, emails. Some people are sending us some very emotionally charged stories about how they envision Vita changing their life. Like absolutely changing their life. They're talking about circumstances where they forgot their EpiPen and, you know, they were worried that something very serious could happen. And we literally have people coming out of the woodwork sharing their stories and talking about what a difference this will make. And the whole food allergy community is all excited about this. They just keep talking about it online and thanking us profusely for inventing this.
That's really cool because... And I do want to talk about briefly what it means for you guys to be here in Waterloo Region with so many cool things happening. You know, I go back to last year. I guess it was around this time, maybe in May, maybe it was June. I can't remember. Time flies. But we were at the Binghamman's Tech Leadership Conference, and that's how kind of this whole thing got started because we did an entire show from that Tech Leadership Conference. We did 4 hours of a show there, and it was just... You know, company after company coming on talking about their cool product. But I got to tell you, if I was to get involved with something, it would be something like this where you would also feel so good because this has the potential to save people's lives, right? I mean, it has the potential to really affect people's lives, right? I mean, anybody driving around listening to this right now and thinking to themselves, why should I care? Well, if you have allergies, this is something that has the ability to change your life. And that's got to be pretty cool.
It changes a family's life,
right.
But it also is far-reaching. I mean, you know, aunts, uncles, grandparents, schools, daycares, it goes on and on. So one allergic person impacts so many people.
We have stories that have been shared with us that something as simple as the find me function. This woman, she had an allergic reaction. Her family went scrambling through the house to be able to try to find her EpiPen. As the mom, she was usually the one tracking and keeping track of all of that. And, you know, precious minutes were lost as the family scurrying around the house trying to find an EpiPen to be able to give it to her while she's laying on the floor, literally in the middle of an anaphylactic attack. And so the ability for us to be able to find these, to be able to intervene quickly, and to be able to help people get to hospital and get to get through these emergencies with a lot more support is really invigorating for us as a team to be able to help support individuals like this.
And fundamentally, startups are hard.
Yeah.
They're very, very hard.
I've learned that over the last year. Yeah.
You lose a lot. Everything is more complicated. Everything requires more resources. So what's really been very, very motivating, to say the least, is our customers with these stories. You know, you have good days, you have bad days, and usually a combination of the same of that in a single different day. But then you think about back to the customers that and you know people that you can really make a difference to, and it actually makes it worthwhile. It's super motivating to actually be doing something that can really help people.
How big's the team?
It's 11 people with 11 to 13 people. It depends how you look at it. Okay. It's still quite small.
Yeah, yeah. And are there any competitors to, or have you guys, I mean, kind of have a grasp of this?
This is the first and only support system that's comprehensive like this. The only type of competitors that we have out there are fairly basic reminders. For example, if you walk out of the house to, it just always reminds you whether you've forgotten it or not. Most of the time you don't forget it. But it reminds you to bring an EpiPen. So basically, that's kind of the level. The key part is an app is really, and I think this is actually Mike's words from a little while back, but an app is not going to save you. An EpiPen is going to save you.
Right.
And so making sure that that's with you is an absolutely critical part there. So from that comprehensive system point of view, no, there's no competitors right now.
The app, is it going to be available for iOS, Android, BlackBerry for all platforms, or
initially we're starting with iOS and Android, and we'll add additional platforms as our customers request that. Yep.
Let's talk about being a startup here in Waterloo. I mean, how has that benefited you guys?
It's really the emotion. It's something that's really hard to describe. This is the best place in Canada to do startups, and hopefully I'm not.
Offending anybody else
in Toronto, but this is the best place in Canada to do a startup. That emotion, the support from Communitech in general. You know, we spent during the Tricorder days, we spent a year at the tannery. Nobody kicked us out. Everybody was encouraging. Every time I go back there, we have our own office as well in Waterloo right now. But every time I go there, I can't get out because there's so many people to talk to. That kind of emotion doesn't exist anywhere else that I've observed, and it's. Yeah. Just that element is absolutely critical.
We're quickly running out of time. We have about a minute and a half left. What is next for you guys? I mean, I know you're still, this is in the early stages in terms of the online stuff right now, but what's next? I mean, my mind's going to different possibilities. I want to hear from you guys, though. What's next?
So within the anaphylaxis and food allergy support system, one interesting thing that happened, we mentioned the support network. So this is your private support network. Your family, for example, would be a typical case. But then you can actually take this to the next level as well, and that's what we're planning to do as well. For example, teachers, an extended support network, teachers, your peers at work, and so on. The next stage after that is a public support network, so people that are carrying EpiPens and others that can come to your aid in case you're having a reaction. So there's actually a very strong community aspect to this. So that's kind of one direction. The other direction, as I mentioned, we have some additional products that fit into anaphylaxis and food allergy support system very seamlessly into that as well. So we can't quite talk about it like that, but it's a really interesting domain as well. And there's other conditions that are specifically that can be handled in the same situation as well. We had a couple of customers that basically took all of our features and said, in my condition, in that case it was type 1 diabetes, here are all the features that I need, and they've mapped it for us. So they basically designed the product for us in a completely different domain.
That's very cool.
So one of the things you could think about with this public network, for example, would be that at a school, the nurse would in fact be notified if in fact somebody's actually using their EpiPen in the school area, and be able then to come to their aid even before somebody even called the nurse themselves.
That's very cool. Yeah, no, that's very cool. We're right out of time. I wish we had more time to chat because I can go on forever. But Alex, Mike, Holly, thank you guys so much for coming in. Really appreciate it. And check out website, aterica.com, aterica.com. And learn more about it there. All News Afternoons is coming up next here on 570 News.